I hope you guys have been in good headspace lately, and I hope this sermon doesn't do your head in. But according to government statistics, one in five Australians suffer from mental health conditions. But some of the more common ones are stress, anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia. And it's helpful to consider these more common conditions briefly so that we might know what kind of things mental illness can involve. So stress as a mental condition basically describes a person who's stressed out, someone who isn't coping well with the challenges and difficulties of life. Anxiety involves general or specific worries that end up interfering with one's work and relationships and self-perception, resulting in a lack of enjoyment of life. Depression, well, that's a sadness or a numbness that endures for longer than normal, affecting a person's energy and motivation levels and one's interests in life. Bipolar disorder is where a person has episodes of extreme moods, moving from lethargic lows to hyperactive highs. And schizophrenia occurs when a person has an altered sense of reality that interferes with the person's work and relationships. Now, any mental condition can be quite debilitating for the person suffering from it, as well as for that person's family and friends who have to cope with the consequences. Now, the Australian Government website, healthdirect.gov.au, it's published the following 9 signs of mental health issues. The 9 signs of mental health issues are feeling anxious or worried, feeling depressed or unhappy, emotional outbursts, sleep problems, weight or appetite changes, being quiet or withdrawn, substance abuse, feeling guilty or worthless, and changes in behaviour or feelings. And the more of those signs that a person has, the more that they might have a mental health issue. So how should we as Christians be thinking about mental health? If one in five Australians suffer from mental health issues, this actually means that many of us within society will be affected by this somehow. So it's important for us to think about. Now, first of all, mental illness is something that we need to be aware of. Mental illness is something that's acknowledged in the Bible. In particular, from the book of Proverbs, we can see that anxiety and a broken or a beaten soul or spirit are talked about. In Proverbs 17:22, it says, "A glad heart causes good health, but a beaten spirit dries up the bones." Here we see the Bible acknowledging that there's a connection between what a person feels and the state of that person's physical health. Gladness in the heart helps us to function well physically. Gladness promotes good health. But where we feel like we've been beaten up psychologically, this will have a negative effect on our health. Instead of healthy bones and a healthy body, our bones will dry up. And dried up bones here, it indicates a lack of vitality, and ultimately it's a picture of death, isn't it? So what we feel emotionally has a significant impact on our physical health. In Proverbs 15, verse 13, a similar idea occurs. But we also get here the idea that our emotional state can affect our mental health as well, not just our physical health. This verse says, "A glad heart makes a cheerful face, But by the pain of the heart, the soul is beaten. Here we see the Bible acknowledging that there's a connection between what one feels and the state of one's physical and mental health. Gladness in the heart, well, that's normally reflected on our faces, isn't it? And gladness, it functions as a strong motivator. But where there's pain in the heart, this can lead to us feeling like we've been beaten up psychologically. In a similar way, in Proverbs 18:14, it says, "The spirit of a person can endure his sickness, but a beaten spirit, who can endure it?" Now, physical sickness, that can definitely affect people psychologically, but often we see people enduring sickness and disease. I've had a bit of experience of that, I guess, over the last few years, various pains that have been happening, but it's possible, despite whatever pain you're going through, to try your best to either ignore the pain, be positive somehow. But once a person's spirit has been beaten and broken into submission, there's not much left to help them keep going. In a way, this verse is acknowledging that physical illness is generally easier for people to deal with than mental illness. Right? If you're in pain but you've still got your mind, you can use your mind to help you deal with that pain. But if your mind isn't working properly, then what do you have, really? So overall, the Bible acknowledges that our emotions have a significant effect on both our physical and mental health. So the first point really is, let's be aware of the fact that this can happen. People can struggle with mental health issues. The second thing to note today is that from the biblical perspective, the state of our heart is all important. Now, the focus in those verses that we just looked at from the book of Proverbs, it's actually on the state of our heart. You see, it's not possible for us to control the external world in a comprehensive way, is it? There's always going to be things that happen that we can't control. For example, I might be a safe and careful driver, or at least I think I am, but as I found out a couple of months ago, that's no guarantee that I won't be smashed into by a driver who isn't as careful. It's not possible for us to fully control our environments. But according to the teaching of the Bible, it is possible for us to prepare our hearts. The thing is, if our hearts and minds are functioning well, then no matter what happens to us externally, it is possible to cultivate as strong a heart as possible, at least strong enough to deal with the difficulties that come and to be able to overcome those things. So friends, the key to developing a strong mind in the Bible, basically, the key to that is the Word of God. In Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, and the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." The Word of God saves our souls and it helps our hearts to function better. The Apostle Paul talks about this in terms of the renewal of our minds. And this is connected in with us clothing ourselves in the new self created in the image of God. The idea is basically as we ponder the gospel, as we think about Jesus, we get to know him better. And as we get to know Jesus better, we have the opportunity for his thoughts to become our thoughts. Just as God's word brought order to the chaotic mass back at the beginning of time, so too in the disorder of this world around us, which has the potential to create disorder in our brains, God's word has the power to deal with the disorder and to bring order to the chaos. And we can see this principle in Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a person's heart depresses it, but a good word gladdens it. If we allow the worries of the world to overpower us, emotionally our outlook on life will become quite negative. But a good word has the power to change that. A good word has the power to bring joy in the midst of sorrow, particularly if that word is God's word, the good news of the gospel. Now, we can't control what might happen around us, but we can cooperate with God in allowing his word into our brains in order to transform our thinking, to change our perspective, to create new neural pathways that bring life and joy in place of the negative neural pathways that bring disorder and destructive behaviour. Now, it's interesting at this point to consider what science has to say about the effect of positive thinking on our brains. And basically, according to the studies, scientists say that every single thought that a person has, it causes some kind of neurochemical change in our brains. These neurochemical changes don't just affect our brains, but there can be associated releases of chemicals that then have an effect on the cells in the totality of our body. Some scientists even believe that how genes are activated or how they express themselves can sometimes be linked in with the chemistry of the brain somehow. And there are other scientists who argue that positive emotions make us more engaged with our environment, leading to greater social interaction and energy, which have positive effects for human health. So the power of positive thinking actually has something going for it, scientifically speaking. But as Christians, positive thinking has to do with getting our brains in gear, thinking God's thoughts, modelling our brains on God's word. If we have God's word, his priority and values, creating positive neural pathways in our brains, then life-giving power of God's word, that will bring order and life to our malfunctioning minds. So friends, the best thing that we can do to help prepare ourselves to deal with the disorder of the world around us and how that might impact upon our thinking, the best thing that we can do is actually to get our hearts and minds into the best possible state. And the Bible encourages us to meditate upon God's word, to make Christian truth the foundation for your thinking. That's what's going to strengthen you mentally. God's word has the power to strengthen our brains and to make them more resilient in the face of the difficulties that arise from living in a world that has its fair share of chaos and tragedy. And this brings me to the third and final point that I'd like to share with you today. The other verses that we read from earlier in the book of Proverbs, they all talk about the importance of words in relation to mental health. We've already seen that a good word has the power to gladden a person's heart. Similarly, in Proverbs 12:18, it says, "There is one who speaks rashly, like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the righteous is healing." Now, it's very easy to hurt people, isn't it, with the things that we say? Anyone remember the old adage? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but how does it go? Names will never harm me or hurt me. But really, how realistic is that adage? What do you think? It's nonsense? Yeah, it's true to some extent that words don't cause direct physical harm, but rash speech can be very, very dangerous. It can be just as dangerous, just as painful as being stabbed by a sword. The righteous person, however, thinks about the effect of his or her words on other people. The righteous person actually aims to bring healing through what is said. So this requires us as Christian people actually viewing the people that we interact with, people that we're talking to, in the light of the gospel, and responding to each and every person that we talk to verbally in a way that communicates gospel truth in the way that that person actually needs it at that particular time. Now in Proverbs 15:4, it says, "The healing of the tongue is a tree of life, but crookedness in it breaks the soul." Friends, God wants us to use our tongues to bring healing and life to other people. But a crooked tongue, well, that's a tongue that's false and devious, and it ends up crushing people psychologically. Now, in thinking about how we use our words to help encourage the mental health of others, please keep in mind the importance of timing. Now, it's impossible for us to talk about every aspect of gospel truth at the same instant in time, right? Communication of good words and gospel truth, that actually takes time. You know, just like giving a sermon here, it takes 20 minutes or so. You can't just download it in a second. It takes time for us to communicate. And the key in helping others through what we say to them, it actually lies in being able to pick the right words for the right moment. And we can see an indication of the importance of this in Proverbs 25:20. When it talks about the person who sings songs to someone who has a sad heart. And it describes singing songs of joy to someone who is in the depths of despair, like removing clothes on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda or sodium carbonate. Now, what do you think? Is it appropriate to take off your clothes on a cold winter's day? Does that make sense? It's not appropriate. In the same way, not acknowledging or empathizing with the pain of the person that you are talking to, that's not appropriate. And this is something that we as Christians have to be careful about, I think, because it's relatively easy for people with a hallelujah mindset to dismiss the pain that others are feeling. Praise God, how are you going today? When someone shares something negative, oh, praise God, don't worry about that. Very easy to ignore what other people are going through. And what do you think the point is about vinegar on soda? Soda here is natron or sodium carbonate. Any thoughts? Steve has a bit of an idea here. Well, I think we need to do a bit of an experiment. What do you think? So I've prepared some soda and a bit of vinegar here. What do you think is going to happen? Any budding chemists here? What's going to happen, Tracy?
It's going to bubble up.
It's going to bubble up?
Yeah.
How much?
Overflow.
Overflow? Okay, well, let's see. What do you reckon? Yeah? Feel a bit like a science teacher here. How much should I put in? Not too much? Anyway, let's see what happens. Oh, it did overflow. What do you think the point is here? Well, we can see you get a big reaction. The more that's in there, the bigger the reaction would be. I think the point is, just as vinegar and soda, they aren't really compatible and they create a reaction, words that don't fit the occasion emotionally, they're likely to create an unpleasant reaction due to the incompatibility between your words and the emotional state of the listener. So I think in the end, if the listener knows that you are concerned for them in a genuine way, if you're prepared to spend a bit of time enough to feel something of their pain, then the more likely they are to listen to what you have to say. Now finally, in Proverbs 27:9, it says, Oil and perfume gladden the heart, and the sweetness of a friend is from the counsel of the soul. The idea here seems to be that just as oil and perfume make a person feel good, you know, all nice and clean, smell good, then the pleasant verbal interaction with a friend can have a positive emotional effect on the listener, as the words of the friend function to give advice to the listener, helping that person to grow spiritually. So friends, be a good friend and helper to others through the words that you speak. That's an important thing to do, to use your words for healing. And basically, as you mimic God's words, as you seek to put God's truth in your own brain, then it should be able to help you model the gospel in what you communicate to others in an emotionally appropriate way. And by doing that, you'll be able to use your words to promote spiritual healing and growth in the people that you talk to. So overall, to summarise what we've looked at today, I think there are three basic things to take away. Firstly, please be aware of the fact that mental illness does exist. Something that the Bible acknowledges, it's a real issue. Secondly, do what you can to protect yourself and others mentally by using God's word to strengthen your brain and get your thinking in order. And finally, model your words on God's word and use your words to promote mental health instead of harm. The key really is, once again, God's word in all of this. The word that brought light, order and life to this world back in the beginning is the same word that can bring light, order and life to the dark and disorderly recesses of the soul.